Hope your Thursday's going great. Phone number to reach us, Waddle and Sylvie, 312-332-3776. You can listen to us many different ways. ESPN 1000. Been here for 25 years now. It's our 25th year anniversary. 100.3 HD2. That's a new way to get us on the FM side. If you got HD radio on your newer car, enable it and go to 100.3. Click it up one, and then you can get us on Crystal Clear HD. Or check us out on the ESPN Chicago app. Also, a new Crosstalk Unhinged just dropped yesterday. All four of us back together after Yurko was gone last week in Florida.
Boy, he was in a mood today.
Yes, he was.
He was in a mood today.
He was like the good kid can be from time to time.
Yeah. Are we seeing the good kid tonight? Or is, no.
He was giving us like one of them. Maybe. I would bet on him being at the holiday party, the non-holiday holiday party, or your pre-Easter / pre-spring break party, whatever you're calling it. We're gathering today as a unit, as a company, as a radio station, as friends. And okay. I would gamble that he would be there.
Okay.
What would you say?
I think it's 50-50. It's a long drive for him. But I would say maybe 60-40. Yes. I think the good kid is always, I hope he's there because he lightens the events.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a good way. Like he
doesn't he usually do a prayer for the meal?
Yes. I don't think there's a meal, is there?
I think there is food. I don't know if it's a sit down meal, yeah. But there is food.
Well, he is a license. He can marry you if you feel like you would like to go through the process again.
There's been renew our vows.
Whatever. The Johnny the Good Kid is officially legally able to do that for you.
Yeah. There's been many, many years. Danny and I were reminiscing about holiday parties where once you wore the lampshade.
Just once?
A couple times. There was one time where we went to an after party across the way where we got kicked out of the room, not because of behavior.
Was I throwing spoons and stuff?
You were doing your spoon trick.
Yeah, I was. Yes, that's true.
What was
but
that?
We were really loud.
You were on your spoon. You were doing your spoon trick. What's your spoon trick?
I can actually take spoons and hang them from my nose and my ears.
Can you try?
Really, it's really a talent.
Spoons?
It's a talent.
Yeah,
really
wait, do you like breathe on them?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, okay. Yeah.
You want to do a spoon off with them? Can you do that too, Charlie?
I can do it on my nose. I don't think I can do it on my ear.
Charlie and I are not.
You guys want to have a contest so you could last for longest?
We're not going to spoon.
We used to do this at dinner when we were kids, and my parents used to get so mad at us.
I think Jim Pastor was getting so mad at me that night, wasn't he?
That wasn't all you were doing. It wasn't because of the spoons.
Well,
you were
what
then,
else was I doing?
You were then taking ice out of your drink.
Yeah, and throwing it at
you. And you were whipping at people.
Yeah.
I think we're at like the bar across the street.
It's called booze dodgeball is what it is. You just got to dodge the ice.
Nothing like a round of booze dodgeball.
Yeah.
If you can dodge the ice, you can dodge a ball.
That's right. Dodge a wrench too, right?
There was another year Danny and I were reminiscing where Carm, I think, was like he went from 0 to 100 then again. And we're going to touch base with Carm, find out how his colonoscopy went. There's a funny story to come out of it too.
Out of his butt?
You'll have to tune in at 4:30 and find out. We did the pre-show pre-show video with him. And
Oh, boy.
Why? The fist fight?
You didn't even give it the fight. It was just, never mind.
Keep going. I know. Carmen, I think, picked Danny up and threw him.
What?
He got, like, I think he got mad at him or something like that.
Back when
like,
Carmen was,
like, screwing around and they were, like, wrestling or something. And then Carmen got mad, I think.
You remember when I was throwing, or was it me or was it Delavitt throwing fruit?
Yeah.
And it when it gets
all
the wall.
Over the Chicago wallpaper.
That was, I think that was Delavitt.
Yes, that was.
I think I picked that fight, but then he took it to a...
Our former boss.
Yeah. Took it to a level that it didn't need to go to.
Do you remember what that was over? I was just telling Charlie.
It was about the size of steaks.
David Flom at Chicago Cut pulled a prank on our old
boss.
Was
it really a prank?
I don't know, but it was funny. It was like...
Funny if you had the ribeye. Or the bone-in filet.
We had the bone-in filet. So our good friend David Flom, everyone got a petite filet, I think, right? That was on the menu. It was filet or a piece of fish. And then, like, you got sides and everything like that. So Flom hooked us up, his friends, Yurko, you, Carmen, me, with the big bone-in filets. And then he got the smallest petite filet for Delavitt, who was sitting next to us.
He was pissed.
And it must have been a 3-ounce filet.
Yeah, it looked like a quarter. It looked like it was the size of a quarter.
And he went nuts. Very angry. I'm the boss. What am I getting this for?
That was good.
Starting to throw stuff. So what will happen tonight?
Well, I'm not. I'm driving and I'm not going to be partying. So I'm not winning the. I will pass the baton if, in fact, I ever had it for the Lampshade Award. That will not be me. No, I'm not doing that. Maybe you tonight.
No, I think there's a new. There's the new level of the youngness on our staff. I believe it will be one of our younger friends. I believe it will be in the Tyler Aki group.
I don't see
Charlie,
Tyler winning that award.
Sonny, Travis.
I'm looking at you, Chuck.
That group.
You have to carry the mantle, Charlie.
The new, I believe
I'm looking at you, Chuck. Not going to be Jake. I know that.
Yeah, no, Jake. But I think we need to make it Jake.
There's a new generation here in ESPN 1000, and I believe it will be one of those people.
Really?
I do.
Okay. Good luck, guys.
Meantime,
no luck needed.
Abdallah had a baby two weeks ago. He went to a concert last night, and tonight he's going to a party.
Well,
like no baby ever happened.
No. He and his wife obviously have a very understanding relationship.
It's incredible. Charles in Wisconsin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Charles?
Charles.
Fellas, I'm here. How we doing?
Good. What's How up? You doing?
What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, long-term fans of you guys and following you forever. Sylvie, awesome job. Color, you know, covering local media. Waddle, you're the man as far as Bears nostalgia. Wanted to hit on a couple things, and I'm going to try to get this as efficient as possible. So I think from the projection of where the, you know, teams look, I think quarterback, right, the hardest position in all the sports. So we've got Justin Fields. I get really frustrated with listening to sometimes local media. I know you guys got to cover, you know, time, but he hasn't had anything. So I think it's too early to kind of put out the finished product of Justin Fields unless we surround him with weapons. After that, I would say the White Sox because the Central's so easy and not too good, but I don't trust Reinsdorf, who owns the Bulls and the White Sox. So that kind of puts them in a dead, even kind of place of nowhere. And then, so I would say the Cubs, just because of the fact they have a history of spending money, so I'll put them in that 2 spot. And then the Hawks, let's just hope for Bedard. I'm going to hang up, listen to you guys. Appreciate it. A fan of yours from Eau Claire. Support our baseball team. I'm the head coach there.
All right. Good luck.
Very good, Charles.
Thanks for the call, Charles.
We were talking about the collective badness from 2022 in the record at 45% win total.
Cumulative, yeah. With all of our teams, all 5 of our teams, collectively, rather, not cumulatively, but collectively, their win percentage is 45%.
Yes.
All their games in 2022. I think we just had, he had the Bears 1, the Cubs 2. I had the Cubs 1 and the Bears 2.
That's what I did. They've been there. They've done that. They're further along on their rebuild. There's more, like, they had a good second half, and they've added to that already. There's more of a track record from Jed. There's more of a track record from the owner. Say what you want about the owner. There's more of a track record from the owner.
Yeah.
So
listen, you're not picking the Celtics over the Red Sox or the Patriots here. Like you're filtering through the trash lack of better terms.
We dumpster diving.
Well, we are, aren't we?
Yeah.
In terms of ranking our teams and the confidence in them being able to be legit contenders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't give any of the teams here in town a legit contender label. Would you?
No.
I wouldn't. I'm not giving any of the teams in this town, I wouldn't give them the label of legitimate contender.
The Cubs may have a chance to compete for a wild card spot.
Well, I would say the same for the Sox as well.
Have a chance.
But is that a legitimate contender?
No. They, you know, unless some things really click for the White Sox.
I mean, like, again, I'm thinking if you are on the fringe of competing for a wild card spot, to me, is you're not a contender.
Yeah. See, Red Fred, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Freddie? Long time no talk.
Hey, guys. It's great to catch up with you. You know, I listened to the pod yesterday, and I heard you say, Sylvie, that you wouldn't trade Patrick Williams because of Lurie's progression in Utah to all-star level.
Well, not just because of that. Not just because of that.
Well, yeah, but that's I think, the primary reason, right?
Well, you're selling low. Like, I don't believe that his value right now would get you a part that would be worth anything else. You're getting someone else's piece that they don't like. And so, like, I would just rather try to develop my piece instead of selling low on him.
So I disagree wholeheartedly. Let me explain why. As a young player in Chicago, who do you think out of those two players, just Lurie and Patrick, as Chicago Bulls, who showed more flashes of greatness?
Well, of course. Lauri Markkanen had some really good moments early on in his career.
Do you think most Bulls fans agree with that? I bet you if you ask the average Bulls fan, but let me just throw some context here. As a 21-year-old in Chicago, Lurie Markkanen, in 52 games, he averaged 18 points and 9 rebounds. Do you know how many times this year in 47 games Patrick Williams scored more than 18 points?
Twice.
Once. How many times? Maybe it is twice. I thought it was once. He averaged more than 9 rebounds. He had more than 9 rebounds once. What Lurie averaged.
No, I know. They're not. I'm not saying. My point is, again, Fred, is I don't want to see him go somewhere else and say, oh, why didn't we hold on to him? Like, if you trade Patrick Williams right now, Fred, what are you getting for Patrick Williams?
You can get Jay Crowder.
Patrick Williams?
What is that doing?
And he hasn't played all year, has he?
He's a better vet power forward who rebounds, who's tough, who defends just as well. We've already taken the path. I don't understand why that we're still like, we're kind of like toeing the line between, hey, we have these young players and we have these vets. We traded everything.
I know, but you're adding Jay Crowder.
No,
Jay Crowder hasn't played this year. Am I correct on that? Has he been holding out?
He has not played because of a contract dispute with the Phoenix Suns.
So you're going to add a player who hasn't played all year, who's an older veteran, who used to be a good 3-and-D guy, to a team that's going nowhere. What are you doing? What is the plan?
If Lonzo, here's the plan. If Lonzo Ball comes back and you have a legit player at the power forward position, a guy who actually rebounds, not in single digits like Patrick, but actually rebounds, I think you're going to have a team that can compete.
So you're hanging your hopes on Lonzo Ball being healthy, something that hasn't happened.
You're doubling down.
Like, listen, where did we go? We went from enthusiastic Fred screaming Red Leviathan to now asking us to trade a 21-year-old player for Jay Crowder who hasn't played this year.
Let me just throw this out. Tommy, these same conversations were going on in Boston last year, if you recall Boston, throughout the year.
Oh my God. Compare this Bulls team to that Celtics team?
You got it. We're not as far away as you think. We need to upgrade at the four, get Ball back, and we're cooking with gas. I'm telling you, we're not as far away as you think. We beat all these good teams this year. We're struggling against the bad teams, but I think
when is
getting
Ball coming back?
That rebound,
Fred. When is Ball coming back? 2024.
I saw him dunk on Instagram. My sources tell me he'll probably be back. Well, probably next year, but I'm hoping for the miracle when he comes back in March. I'm hoping for.
You should see him. You should go to the next slide and watch him run on the treadmill,
Fred. How'd you like that fourth quarter performance from Zach against the Pacers?
It was a nightmare. I will admit this, and that's something about, I always say, the Bulls' offense is optimized with the ball in DeMar DeRozan's hands when it matters. Zach should play off ball and just knock down shots. But he's got the issue with his hand. I mean, it's affecting him. I think
it's always something.
There's always an issue with his hand. You know what? I can tell you right now, if we wanted to trade Zach LaVine, we could do that with the Lakers for their two picks in 27 and 29. I'm 100% certain they would do that. I would explore that because I don't think the Zach Lowe would fall off as far as you would.
You were listening
to
the
Zach Lowe.
Yeah, yeah, that's all you're doing now. You're you're pulling a cap. You listen to the Zach Lowe. You listen to the Zach Lowe podcast and you parroted that and you called it your sources. What are you doing?
Sylvie, I got an actual tweet.
Red Leviathan.
About that. Hey, I still believe in a Red Leviathan.
Red,
you know
Leviathan,
what? I'm going to call back
Leviathan.
In March, and you guys are going to be like, yeah, you know, you guys were making fun of me back in the day when it was the three alphas, and I was right. We won two first-round games. I was absolutely right.
That was a gentleman's sweep.
We were a thumb injury away from a title. We're a thumb injury away from the title.
Red,
you know,
Leviathan. Red Leviathan.
All right, guys.
All right,
have a
friend.
Good day. Godspeed. I got to hit the road.
Same too.
Bye.
Come on.
That was a good parrot. You do a good parrot.
You know what? It's a low bar.
That was really
low. No, that
bar.
Was good.
That was, made me laugh.
Sure, you have raised the bar, in fact.
Take another laugh.
Value added. Value added right there.
Yeah. I never knew that you did 16 years together. Never knew you did a parrot.
Well, doing the parrot is not like, it's not hard. It's not a hard imitation. Again, the bar is really low for that.
All-time great parrot impression. Do we have one here? I think that's Waddle, right?
I don't think anybody else has attempted it. Like I said, there's no
the Mount Rushmore.
People want to trash See Red Fred. Ryan in Mount Prospect. You want to go after See Red Fred?
I'm a Celtics fan. I love Jay Crowder, but if I was the Suns and I was offered Patrick Williams for Jay Crowder, I would kick in a number one pick just so nobody started an investigation. That is an absolute travesty of a trade. I cannot believe that somebody who is not day drinking, I would hope, called in and said that's a good idea. The guy hasn't played all year. You want to tell me he's better than Patrick Williams? I mean, come on, that had to be a joke, right? You guys listen to him all the time. That's a joke, right? He wasn't being serious.
Red Leviathan. Red Leviathan.
I think Marcus in Minneapolis wants to rip someone. Marcus, you want to go after him too?
Oh my God, man! This guy, C. Red Fred, is a joke, man. I had to unfollow him on Twitter.
He's a nice guy. He's a nice man. No, he just got some delusional basketball thoughts.
In that sense, I'm not saying that. I don't know him as a person. I'm talking about basketball. But
Red Leviathan.
He gave a statement about Patrick Williams scoring 18 points one time this season. He didn't provide full context. He's playing with three all-stars as opposed to Lowry played with, I don't even remember, Wendell Carter and Chris Dunn. So, of course, he was able to get up way more shots. Like, provide full context. And that Jay Crowder take was stupid. Ban him for 2 weeks from taking calls. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Marcus. All right, speaking of fun guys, here's Big C.
Big C is back!
Big C. I was about to go check it out.
Hey, Waddle, what's good? I can't wait. February to 10 win the Super Bowl.
I
can't.
2 weeks from Sunday.
The 12th.
I can't wait the next week when Brock Purdy gets into the Super Bowl. I can't wait.
I can't wait either because I'm a 49er fan.
I can't wait. And then it'll go all back to what I said. The most important position is Nick Bosa. Okay, but let me get back. Whoever that guy that called Earl talking about defenses don't win championship. Man, y'all just sit there and let him get away with that, right?
Well, Big C, I mean, who was in the Super Bowl last year?
What you mean? Aaron Donald.
It was the Rams and the Bengals, right? Both of them were middle of the pack defensively in yards and points per game.
Here you go with these stats, these crazy stats. At the last play,
well, there is nothing more. There is nothing really more conclusive than a full 17-game season where points per game are part of it.
Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, cut it out. Aaron Donald made the stop to end the game. Tape wide open with his hand waving.
And I'm sorry to tell you this, Big C, in this era of football, where the rules lean towards the offensive teams, having a having a better offense than defense is going to carry you further in today's game. That's just reality.
No, that's media talk. Hey, you know what? How many bets did you lose off quarterback not going over like 240 and pass?
Listen, there's nobody. There's nobody in their right mind, Big C, that is going to tell you that defense isn't important. Defense is important, but this is a game where you have to score a lot of points as well. Like, that's just the game. The game has shifted in that direction.
On baseball, you have to have a stop. Why do you have to bring in the closer? When you play, when you're away, whichever the case is, you have to bring in the closer, right? To get stopped, right?
Yeah, there is a role for a closer in baseball, yeah.
I'm saying, but you have to play defense. Defense wins championships.
Oh, jeez. Really?
There's no way around.
Like, see, what you're doing, Big C, though, is you're looking at me and you're saying, Waddle doesn't believe good defense is important. Of course I believe good defense is important. But we're not playing we're not playing in 1990 anymore. This game, the rules favor offense.
That's the rules. Name me one team that can have superior defense.
What stats and rules?
Add me one team that didn't have a superior defense that won a Super Bowl.
The Kansas City Chiefs that beat the 49ers.
Chris Jones. Cut it out, Walter. Chris Jones.
That's one name. They weren't an elite defense, Big C. They won the game because of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, even more so than Chris Jones.
So you think that
Chris Jones is more important to the Chiefs than Patrick Mahomes?
You don't think he probably the second Mahomes?
I asked you a question. I'm playing your role now. Answer my question. Who's more important to the Chiefs, Chris Jones or Patrick Mahomes?
Okay, then who more important?
You can't do it. You can't allow yourself to answer.
You just said
that offense is more important than defense in today's game because the most important player on the field is the quarterback.
What you going to say when Brock Purdy be in the Super Bowl? What are you going to say?
We're going to say that they have the best offensive-minded coach in the entire NFL.
Big C, would you not also, yes, the San Francisco 49ers led the league in points allowed this year. You also have seen what the San Francisco 49ers have done on offense this year, haven't you? Like, since Brock Purdy took over, they were averaging over 30 points per game.
Hey, Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. He's a quick thinker. You know, he's confident. But Brock Purdy's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so but
all right,
but,
call but, back on, Nick, call back
again,
on Monday.
It's because
Nick Bosa.
The 49ers averaged, what did they average this year?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we're here. We're not going anywhere.
Okay, don't be trying, because you'll get me offline and say something a little slick, like you try to do with the Mark Andrews little tape.
He asked me. First of all, and it was a weird argument because I would tell that the Ravens haven't done a good enough job putting enough weapons in that offensive huddle. And Big C asked, name one guy who is a difference-making weapon in the Ravens huddle. And I told him Mark Andrews, and he just started giggling. And then I had to tell Big C that Mark Andrews wasn't just a Pro Bowler. He was an All-Pro. And then you started laughing again. But the point that I made and the answer I gave you was 100% accurate.
You got to understand with a quarterback, a dual quarterback.
I got to be honest with you. I understand the game quite well. I do.
No, you don't.
I do understand the game quite well.
And you have to have a strong defense. That's how Cam got to the Super Bowl. That's how the Ravens were one step away. If dude wouldn't have fumbled the ball in the 1 yard line, the Bengals wouldn't even be here.
San Francisco 49ers averaged 27 points per game this year.
What?
And they averaged more points per game with Brock Purdy than they did any of their other quarterbacks. So the point I'm making is, while the 49ers defense has been elite and very good, their offense hasn't been pulled around just for you know what and giggles.
Can I back up? Did you say that he doesn't know anything about football, Big C?
No. He knows a lot about football, but he's driving the fence when it comes to Bears.
He said to you, I know about football, and you said, no, you don't.
I'm talking about that. Look, whatever we were talking about. But Waddle knows he pretty much fluent in football, but he gets over the head trying to do the media stuff, I guess, for the ratings. He'll spin it around. But I'm talking about
tell you, Big C.
Call back tomorrow. We'll do another installment.
When it comes to talking football, I'm not playing a role.
Big C needs an open. Can we get an open for Big C?
And by the way, I want the 49ers. I want to see the 49ers represent the NFC. I like the 49ers. You know that the 49ers, to me, is watching them play offense is football pornography.
Oh, it is porn. Yes. Big C is something. All right, we'll check in with Carm. How did it go in the...
Speaking of Big C, Big Carm coming in.
Big Carm's coming in hot after something else came in hot today.
Whoa!
Yeah, and then we got to get to the announcer conversation as well. We got a lot of fun going on today. This should be illegal. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
See, someone in the Twitch chat's asking, will there be a big game pregame?
Hey, what?
Big game pregame. Over the last couple of years, we've gone to Twitch, friends in the Twitch chat. We've gone to Twitch before the big game. And we've done our own pregame on Twitch, exclusive, not on radio, exclusive Twitch.
Like, is that happening this year?
I believe it is nearly finalized.
Okay.
I believe it is a nearly done deal.
So the answer to the question is nearly yes.
It's a firm maybe at this point. It's probably a probably.
I like that.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So someone else also says Big C is the Al Bundy of ESPN 1000.
Listen, I want everyone. I love Big C. He calls all the time. He's interactive. He's involved in our show. We don't see eye to eye on everything, but he participates. He's a willing participant on the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Right. And boy, and I'll tell you this. See, Red Fred is getting spanked on Twitter.
It sounds like the Bulls have broken him.
Yes.
To the point where now he's just, like, he's now just mumbling.
This is what someone tweeted. See, Red Fred sounds defeated. You know the Bulls are in franchise hell when Fred sounds defeated.
Yeah.
Anthony says, see Red Fred once again showing his cluelessness on Waddle and Sylvie.
Listen, I love see Red Fred as well. We don't see eye to eye with him all the time. He's a great guy and he's interactive. He's also a willing participant on the show.
Yeah, and then someone else tweeted, Red Leviathan! And with a couple of laughing, crying emojis, saying, I'm dead. Like, how funny
parrots aren't,
It's a good sound effect. It's one of your best ones.
I don't have a whole repertoire of them. There's very few that I'm able to replicate. But
let's bring in Carmen DeFalco.
Oh, here he is,
fresh out of the colonoscopy clinic.
Dr. Boom.
And we did a FaceTime video with him earlier.
We did.
How you feeling?
I feel great. There's now that it's all said and done. The procedure itself, like you guys said, is nothing. It's the prep is not fun. There's no way to sugarcoat it.
Do you feel like you would be capable to have a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich?
I could have a steak sandwich, a Bloody Mary and a steak sandwich. Yeah. I think I could. They said avoid fatty foods and like spicy foods for the rest of the day, so I won't have a couple of steak sandwiches. But, I mean, I've got like the appetite. I couldn't wait to eat when I got up, and I was like, yes, let's go. Time to grab a little food, and you're not going to get my booze on for one more night?
No, we'll do that tomorrow. Come on.
No.
That's Carm, okay, you know what? I'm not you follow
be
your doctor's advice.
I'm just going to say
I look at it almost like the expiration date on some food. Like basically it says don't eat after January 25th, but you know you can push that to the 27th, 28th.
Listen, I follow the doctor's orders. Dr. Frasca said no bourbon for tonight, and I said it's not a problem.
Dr. Rosen.
Dr. Frasca said no whiskey. I said I'm sick. I said what about like 11 a.m. tomorrow when we're at the Pride stores and we've got our whistle pick single barrel in front of us? He said yes. Then that's fine.
Of course.
So I'll wait till tomorrow before Yerk and I start the show and we bust out the whistle pick at the Pride stores at 93 octane tomorrow. So, but you guys were right. I mean, it was you get a little peace of mind. Doc said I got the colon of a 19-year-old, strong like bulls. So that's good.
Excellent.
They took a little polyp out. He did say, he goes, yeah, we took a little polyp out. We'll send it out just to be sure, but nothing concerning.
I had the same thing, all good.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, I'll see you in 5 years. You know, it's a piece of cake. It's like, all right.
The good kid was selling that you were concerned about something with regard to elasticity. Is that true?
I asked your cook the other day. I said, hey, when I get out, I said, is it going to feel weird? And he looked at me and said, what's the matter with you? He said, no, it's not going to feel weird. He goes, you know how small that camera is? And he goes, you ever look down in the toilet and see, how did that just come out of me? He goes, it's three times the size of anything they're going to stick up there. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's a good point. You made me feel better here. He goes, what's the matter with you? Are you stupid?
That is one of the dumber questions I think I've ever heard regarding
that. When your wife is telling you what's the matter with you, then you know there's something wrong with you.
Elasticity was a concern.
I was just wondering. I've never had,
You weren't going to have a solid bowel movement for some time to come, huh? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I was a little bit of that. I haven't even gone to the bathroom since. I mean, how could I?
You're cleaned out.
Yeah, you're cleaned out. So, I'm a little bit, kind of anxiously awaiting, what the first one's like, but, It was easy peasy. When it's all said and done, it really is kind of easy peasy. The stuff at night stunk. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're up a lot.
It's the worst part.
It's the worst part. It gets to be at some point you're like, enough already. How could there still be more in there? I mean, it's kind of crazy. But other than that, it was easy.
Let's get down to the brass tacks. How was that anesthesia?
Well, yeah, and they had jokes. They were listening yesterday. They were like, Sylvie likes to try to get to three, huh? Like, good luck. And I think I maybe got to seven, like I said.
Look at you holding out.
Sylvie, it might not have even been that. I literally thought of it as I was about to go out. I'm like, all right, Sylvie says, let's see, how far can I get? I'm like, 10. I definitely got to 9, and I thought, maybe, did I say 8? And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in the room, and the doctor's like, hey, how you feel? I'm like, oh, wow. Done already, huh? And it's like, that's it, man. That sleep is something. You talk about just out cold. It is, wow. It is amazing.
Fantastic, isn't it? Rested.
You do. You feel it was the procedure was 29 minutes. I looked on the report. 29 minutes. You could have told me it was 4 hours. It's weird. You could have told me it was 30 seconds, but I felt like I slept for 4 hours.
Yes.
That's the weird thing about it.
Yes, exactly.
It's crazy.
That's what I love about it.
Listen, it sounds like to me that a nice small glass of whiskey wouldn't do you any harm tonight.
Are you thinking about coming to the party and not drinking?
No,
you sound good.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to head all the way down.
He's being Fred out there. He'd be out there bowling. Next thing you know, he'd poop in his shorts.
That's a good point. We don't need any of that, just in case. I'm staying at the home base tonight. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm listening to you guys. I'm rewatching. What week was it? Week 13, Chiefs and Bengals. I'm rewatching that game now.
Getting
ready for Sunday. I am a nerd. I'm a football nerd. I know.
Do you have a play for everybody out there?
I'm working on it, and that's why I'm rewatching the game. I always like to rewatch just to see. We'll have some best plays tomorrow. Mike and I will tape odds a couple in the morning. I was really hoping at some point that KC would get to that, plus 3 number. That never happened.
The number is moving. It's going the other way. It's going towards...
Well, now they're back to being a favorite. Last time I looked earlier today, they're back to being the favorite.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes is practicing, although I can't imagine, guys, what that's going to look like. The more I think about it, like what we were saying, I think we maybe brought it up during, I can't remember if it was Unhinged yesterday or regular crosstalk. That's like a 4-week injury, you guys.
Yeah.
It's like if it was the regular season, it's a four, he's missing 3 or 4 games. And now he's got to play on Championship Sunday. Like, I don't know what to expect or what he's going to look like. The more you watch Joe Burrow, especially when you start watching the L-22, you're like, come on. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just.
They're just so a really, I don't, they're
nothing,
a really,
no plays yet, but.
They're a really good football team. Like, their two backs are good. Mixon and Perine are good. Yeah. Their receivers are good. Like, the game plan's good. He is able to help, you know, help his offensive line with how he plays the quarterback position. But it's still Chiefs minus one right now.
Yeah, Chiefs are back to being the favorite, yeah. But, no, I mean, they're both great. It would be awesome if they were both totally healthy, obviously. Yeah. Last two seasons, this is one thing I did find, is just going through numbers, too. Since the start of last year, they're both, the two of them, Burrow and Mahomes, 1-2 in quarterback rating and EPA per play. Burrow's actually 1 in quarterback rating. Mahomes is 2. Mahomes is 1 in EPA per play. Burrow is 2. Number 1 and number 2 over the last 37 games.
If I could give you guys a choice.
Between
what Patrick Mahomes has in his offensive huddle with regard to weapons and what Joe Burrow has, including backs and tight ends, where would you go? If you have a choice.
Oh, I'm going Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, excuse me. I think Cincinnati. I think I'd rather have Higgins and Chase.
And yes. Either Tyler Boyd.
Yes.
And the two running backs. Yes. And Hayden Hurst.
Even though Kelsey makes that, like, when you throw in the tight end, man, I mean, Kelsey makes, he might, that makes it interesting because, like,
two good running backs, though. Both teams have good running backs.
I think Cincinnati. I think I'd rather have
Bengals. I was interested to see Kadarius Toney play in the role that he played in their playoff game. But that's what makes this fun. Like, these two quarterbacks are great, and they've got a lot of talent inside their huddles.
Yeah, they're great. It should be fun.
All right, good stuff, Carm. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yes, you got it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Get your colonoscopy, man. That's men and women. It's important to get it. That's the biggest thing. We've joked about it the last couple of days, but that's the bottom line here. Don't be scared of it. And you catch it early, that is a good thing. Don't be scared of what you could catch, because if you catch it, that's the main thing.
Yes.
We got to get into a couple of things. Today's the anniversary of the Bears Super Bowl. Is it still a day of celebration, or is it a mockery that we're still celebrating something 37 years ago? We got to talk about announcers. You want to weigh in? We've had a fun day on the phones. 312-332-3776.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Did you see the news from the ESPN Cowboys?
Did not.
This from Ed Werder, covers the team. Mike McCarthy, you know, met the media today. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy declined several opportunities in his season-ending news conference to commit to offensive coordinator Kellen Moore returning if he's not hired elsewhere. The two spoke briefly today. McCarthy, quote, "Kellen Moore, like the rest of our coaches, will be evaluated."
Why would you hire Kellen Moore to be a head, or if he's being interviewed as a head coach and the Cowboys don't even want him as an offensive coordinator? I heard Marcus Spears on your favorite show say a couple of days ago, he thinks that Kellen Moore is getting an enormous pass from a lot of people, that everyone focuses on Mike McCarthy.
That's what everyone
but
says.
Doesn't look at what Kellen Moore is doing to try to bring Dak along.
Well, that's what, like, a lot of people who defend Mike McCarthy say when things go well for the Cowboys, it's Dan Quinn's a great defensive coordinator and how good Kellen Moore is as an offensive coordinator. When things go badly for the Cowboys, it's how bad Mike McCarthy is as a head coach.
Right.
So it sounds like Kellen Moore could be on his way out.
Interesting. Look, Dak has not taken that step, next step.
No, I know.
And I would think that's why I thought That's why I thought that Sean Payton was a really legitimate, you know, move for them. Because if anybody that's out there can get Dak Prescott over the hump and get him into that category that everyone thinks he can get into, Sean Payton would be that guy, you would think.
Right.
So, don't know.
Himbo, not Hembo, but Himbo in the Southwest Burbs. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Himbo?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just going to throw this out there. You know, for, as a Bear fan, I think it's bad. The further the 49ers go, the worse it is for the Chicago Bears, because the further the 49ers win this weekend, and even if Brock Purdy goes on to the Super Bowl and he, let's say he becomes even an MVP or he just plays well, how many teams is that going to deter from wanting to jump in and grab one of these top two quarterbacks, thinking that, hey, we can build our line instead and draft ourselves the next Brock Purdy in the fourth round, and that's going to devalue the trade value of the Bears' top pick? I was just curious as to what you guys thought of that.
Well, you remember, though, Himbo, they got to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as well. And I think people felt good about Jimmy, but I don't think anyone felt over the top about Jimmy. But look, he's right. This is a game of, you know, a league of followers. A lot of people play follow the leader. Maybe they, but whether it's the New York Giants or it's the San Francisco 49ers, obviously the 49ers have gotten further than the Giants. The Giants have done it with Daniel Jones, not an elite quarterback, but with excellent coaching and bringing somebody along. If you look at the 49ers, you have to look at them as an anomaly in this conversation because they've got so much talent in different spots.
And how many coaches could have done this other than Shanahan?
Not many. Not many. If any. I mean, right. Look, you've got Brandon Ayuk, who has developed very well. Deebo Samuel is a blue chipper and then some. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. You've got Trent Williams as your left tackle. You've got the best fullback in the game as well. Like, that cupboard is full.
But it's another example, too, that you should still continue to draft quarterbacks.
Absolutely. And I don't mean to belittle what Brock Purdy's done. He's done a fabulous job.
Because he got a lot of reps at Iowa State.
He did. He was a four-year starter,
so,
I think.
So, like, that's another good, it's another practical lesson for all general managers.
No
question.
Look,
if there's one out there late, and you like him because he's gotten a lot of valuable reps in college and was productive, go grab him.
I don't think that will change the landscape for everybody. It's not going to make the Houston Texans or the Indianapolis Colts all of a sudden to change philosophy. You know, that, oh, well, look, the 49ers did it with Brock Purdy. Why can't we do it with the last pick of the NFL draft? Well, because your roster doesn't look like what the 49ers roster looks like.
Right.
Or your coaching staff isn't as good as...
Where was Skylar Thompson drafted?
Good question. I'm not 100%
sure. Because he went into the postseason as a rookie, too, and produced. Like, again, like, in the right system, if you're coached right, it's development, too, in the right system. So
Sky, he was a seventh round guy.
Like, two guys who were drafted in the seventh round. Like, don't take your eye... Even if you think you have one, it's the old lesson that the Packers used to do all the time. Ron Wolf, right?
Yeah.
Ron Wolf used to say, always draft them, no matter who you have. Keep drafting them. I think it's a good lesson for Ryan Poles.
No question.
312-332-3776. Is the 85 Bears, I know it's a blessing. I know that. And well, and for people in my age group, it will always be a blessing. But is it also a curse? And we'll expand on that coming up next.